Welcome to the first edition of the Sunday Morning Cornerback here on WeRSC. And if you're wondering how we got this name, it is obviously Sunday morning, the day after the game. And our guest throughout this year is going to be former Trojan cornerback Daryl Rideau. And the goal of this podcast, Daryl, each week is going to be to break down strategies, plays, and schemes from the night before, to really get into the X's and O's of what we saw. And I really think this is going to be a good thing for people to get an understanding of Trojan football.
Absolutely, Gary. And I think sometimes the meat and potatoes of football is always given to you by either a head coach or a quarterback's perspective. Well, oftentimes you can see the field a little bit differently from a defensive standpoint, whether it's looking at it from how the defense is going to attack USC or how USC is going to defend against the opponent's offense. Looking at it from this perspective should be a little bit refreshing.
Let's talk first off about the USC offense last night. Obviously a very successful night. When you're putting up 52 points and the kind of numbers, which are just staggering, 700 total yards, 37 first downs, just, you know, on and on and on in what was accomplished. I really just want to get your comment, first of all, on how the up-tempo system, you know, 105 plays, a new conference record in Sark's first game. He wasn't joking when he talked about speeding things up.
Gary, we heard about it. It was mentioned. It was being talked about during spring ball. But I tell you, seeing it up front and up close was something it was remarkable. The amount of plays that they were able to get in the first half, I couldn't believe it. And it just seemed natural. The way that the players rotated in, offensively skilled players, they were in and out of the plays. You didn't see a lot of false starts. You didn't see a lot of mistakes that would cause the disruption of a system. And that's what I would call this right here. Running 105 plays means that you have a system and a trust and a belief in your coaching staff to go out, recruit the right type of players that fit this scheme. And what we saw was a great collection of talent plugging into an assembly line, and Cody Kessler, from his quarterback position, was able to make the most of all the resources around him.
I thought Kessler was just absolutely on point last night. You really saw an incredible command, I thought. The way they're coming out the first four drives and to march down and get 24 points right off the bat. You know, 8 for 8 on their first eight, third down conversions.
Yeah. That means you're moving the chains, Gary. That truly means you're moving the chains.
And Sark brought up a great point. He said you get to 105 plays. The best thing to get to 105 plays is by extending drives.
And these were lengthy drives, which means that you keep your defense fresh. But what you love most was just how poised Kessler was behind center, understanding, recognizing, reading the whole field. It was almost though, and I'm going to take you back, before everybody went on their phones and put on a GPS app, we had to read a Thomas guide. And I felt like Kessler was back there navigating, reading a Thomas guide. He had latitude and longitude lines. He was watching players cross his face, go vertical. He knew exactly where he wanted to go, drop the ball in the destination, and the arrival point were the receivers.
I want to talk about one thing on the offensive plan, and that is with the play calling, the use of motion, the use of running basically similar plays, but just out of different formations, just to pull things. Daryl, it reminded me a lot of Norm Chow.
Me too. I mean, because when I thought about it, it didn't feel like there were many plays that were run, but it was just how they got to those plays.
Right.
Early on in the game, when we saw Nelson Aguilar score that touchdown, on the opposite side, if you see the highlights and you watch the replays, they were in what we call a bunch set. That's a trio three-receiver set. One goes up, one goes outside, one goes in. Later on in the first a half, when Adoree Jackson, the sensational freshman, comes in, Sark starts off two receivers on both sides of the quarterback. Adoree runs in motion. He catches them full speed. They end up in the same formation that Aguilar was in, that trio bunch set. This time, they find the matchup that they're looking for. They put a lot of stress on that corner from Fresno State to make a decision. Do I cover Juju Smith at the receiver position, who was hot in the first half, or do I cover this slot receiver racing up the field? Analysis by paralysis, the corner had to make that split decision. He froze just long enough. Kessler caught Jackson in stride, touchdown. And we're going to see a lot of that. That illusion of showing one thing, but then motioning into and isolating the matchups that you're looking for. And you have to give a lot of credit to Sark for bringing that element back when you have as much talent as you have.
Well, speaking of as much talent, what I love is it's not just focusing on one or two players. 10 different players touched the caught passes. 6 different players scored for the Trojans. That's moving the ball around well.
Yeah, 28 different receptions amongst them. And what you saw was an unselfishness about this group. Everybody was dialed in. Everybody understood their role. Multiple receivers were playing different positions. And that just tells me that the trust in this system and the trust and belief in this coaching staff is exemplified by way of how Kessler is able to make the decisions. It's not a predetermined point.
Not at all.
He has the autonomy to go back, assess the field, and recognize the matchups that he's looking for. And that was effortless. And with that kind of production, with that kind of rotation, you keep players dialed in, and you get the most out of them, which is why you see 105 plays run in one single game, Gary. That's actually 2 games worth of plays.
Right.
So the learning curve for this group has just sped up.
And that allows for a lot of, you know, you talk about freshmen, you're appealing to recruits, you can tell them coming in, you're going to play right away. You're going to get some reps in this offense. One of the things I want to talk about is the play calling was split 50-50 at halftime for the Trojans, an equal amount run or pass.
Yes.
But in the second half, when the Trojans had the lead,
They
ran the ball. They just leaned on them. And I thought that was perfectly in play with Sark saying, hey, this is what we're going to do when we get it. And he put into practice what he talked about.
Well, I keep emphasizing trust because for Sark to retain offensive coordinator Clay Helton, who was, you know, virtually the one of two coaches that were retained after Lane Kiffin's staff was disseminated. When you think about their relationship, Helton's eyes and what he sees and what he's able to convey and articulate to Sark, and them recognizing that, okay, they have this game well in hand, let's change up the tempo. That's like going from, you know, jabbing up as a boxer, a prize fight fighter, jabbing up his opponent, and now hitting them with counters and combination moves. They started with combination moves, and when they wanted to jab him to death, who do you go to? Your bell cow, you know, Buck Allen. Riding him, but then rotating players. And the fact that they were able to control that running game and really open up those lanes started off because they spread the field so much with those wide receivers. But committing to that, how many times were we in conflict in weeks past, I mean, previous seasons past, and we said, just do something and commit to it. This is an offensive staff that seems to be committed to one thing, which is scoring points. However that happens, they're going to make the best determination. But did you go through this game once questioning any of the play calling?
Nope. Every play made sense.
Made a lot of sense.
Play calling made sense.
But to that credit, a running game is only going to be as strong as that core offensive line.
And let's talk about that. One of the things that was really obvious to anybody watching was the rotation along the offensive line. I mean, to rotate the right side of the line on the second drive, you talk about staying committed to something.
Yes.
They stayed committed to that rotation scheme all game long.
It was something that I had never seen before. You know, and I've been around a lot of football, but seeing a complete rotation, normally if you're going to rotate, you rotate one player or another, but it was almost like they rotated with purpose. They understood what they were trying to do, but it didn't give away much.
Right.
It didn't reveal. But I tell you, this group of offensive linemen, I don't know how deep they're going right now, 6, 7, 8 deep, but they're like Caterpillar construction trucks. They're earth movers. Mm. When they come in, they command, they fill up a lot of space, but they plow. They move forward, and they create these wide lanes for all of these running backs to benefit from. And if this group can stay together, stay healthy, that term finesse will never be defined by this group.
Let's flip it over to the defensive side of the ball. I thought this was a very solid game by the defense, and just want to get your initial thoughts about what you thought really jumped out to you.
Well, first of all, in years past, I made the comments on other shows that we've done, Gary, that teams can sometimes be built outside in, from the skilled players in, Well, make no mistake about it. This defense, the strength, the core of this defense is the interior defensive line led by All-American Leonard Big Cat Williams and Antoine Woods. I thought that those two guys in the interior command so much attention, and they understand, they recognize their role. They understand what the more attention that they command from that offensive line, getting double teamed, frees up everyone around them and allows the linebackers to run downhill untouched, unscathed. There wasn't a lot of sacks in this game, but the thing that won't stand out in the stat book is the type of disruption that this defensive interior defensive line was able to create without blitzing. That is something key. Blitzing sometimes can be a crutch. If you can get that kind of pressure and force the quarterback off his mark without blitzing, then it allows for your defensive scheme to be very creative on the backside.
One of the things we talked about coming into this was the sure tackling. In practice with the Trojans, there was limited tackling, and there was some concern among Trojan fans, hey, how's that going to impact? But you were saying not a lot of yards after catch, some very solid effort on what you saw.
And that's what you look for, yards after catch. What happens when the first defender gets to him? Is he grabbing cloth, or the receivers are in running backs peeling off of him, getting, extending additional yardage? I didn't see much of that. I felt like there was very few air between the skilled players from Fresno State and the defenders from USC. The other thing that I liked is from a scheme standpoint, they went into this game and said, you know what, we're going to take a lot of pressure off of you. Let's run some man coverage. With the absence of Josh Shaw, a veteran, someone who's going to be and who was expected to contribute a lot in this secondary, what I noticed was if you're going to move in a young freshman like a Dory Jackson, line them up, my best athletes against your best athletes, and just let them play football. That's what I saw. He had a lot of protection from the backside, the free safety, but it also allow for Sua Cravens to be very creatively used in this scheme, Gary.
Talk about that. I know we were talking before this, and you thought Kevon Seymour had a really nice game.
Yes.
We got to give some credit to Chris Hawkins stepping into the role. And really, you didn't really notice him, so that says he probably did a pretty good job.
That says he did a great job. And oftentimes when you don't hear the names of the secondary, that means they are doing the job. Because if you hear their names called too often, it means that they're getting blitzed. They're getting bombed, and you don't want that. But Seymour, give a lot of credit to him. His job until Josh Shaw returns is going to be to cover a team's best receivers. And I thought against Josh Harper from Fresno State, I thought he did a phenomenal job.
Right.
I thought he lined up and he really – that battle was one to be watched and one to be appreciated. Because in the past, Seymour has been somewhat inconsistent. His confidence has wavered. But now he recognizes he's an upperclassman. He got some young pups around him and that he has to lead by example. With his ability to play as consistently as he did, he was brought in here to be a man corner, not a zone corner. Guys of his size don't like to play in space, Gary. So I think early on in the season, the first three or four games, what that does is it allows, until Shaw comes back, depending on what happens with that, Josh Shaw, it allows for players like Adoree Jackson to be immersed into the rotation, being thrown on what we call the hot side. The hot side is a combination route pattern side where you're going to see a lot more balls than Seymour might see on the backside. Seymour is going to see home runs, Gary. Mm-hmm. Adoree Jackson is going to see a lot of action, which means he should have a lot of opportunities to touch the ball.
Let's talk about the use of Sua. The first time we saw really him used around and played a lot more closer to the line. And I know you were saying, kind of similar to your former teammate, Troy Polamalu.
Yeah, Troy Polamalu, when you have a special talent, you don't want to waste him in space. You get him hovering around the line of scrimmage. And the first thing that I noticed in this game is the amount of respect that they have for Craven's playmaking ability. Mm-hmm. What I noticed was they waited until the quarterback, early in the game, set his cadence. And then you all of a sudden start seeing Cravens kind of hovering around the line of scrimmage, unaccounted for in the plays, being able to come on the backside, chase down plays, just shore up things. And I think you're going to see more of that. Him use versatile, and then you're also going to see him blitzing off the edge a lot more. We used to do that with Troy. We would show a cover two shell, meaning two safeties high, and then it was almost like he was reading the melody of the quarterback, lulling him to sleep. As the quarterback got into his rhythm, Troy would be creeping down. And as long as he ends up at the point of snap, at the line of scrimmage, he would never be touched. And that's what we're going to see more and more with Craven.
Let's close this out with a final thought from you on the play of the freshmen. 11 freshmen played last night.
11 freshmen played, and it wasn't forced. you know, where you're trying to force one of the players. I mean, they plugged and played seamlessly. And again, I give a lot of credit to Sark and his staff going out, identifying the right players that fit his system that can come in, just learn new terminology. But in terms of their mechanics, their athletic ability, getting the most of them. And whether it was the interior offensive lineman playing two freshmen, starting two freshmen at times, and then the skill players, Juju Smith, what he did. We talked about this off air, Gary, about him wearing that number nine, filling in that number nine at potentially 6'2", 210 pounds. Didn't look like a freshman to me, I'll tell you. For this to be his first game coming out of Poly, onto this scene, not sure how he was going to be integrated into this system, but I tell you, he looked very good. You know, had about 123 yards, impactful, meaningful. And then the way, again, Sark uses Adoree Jackson, a Janae Harris, Bryce Dixon, the tight end, isolating them, recognizing the matchups, trusting that my players are better than your players because we recruit the best at USC. And didn't matter if they were freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior, it seemed like when they were in, the trust was you were going to be where you were going to be. And because of that trust, I even believe that Kessler alluded to it. He says, they're like this in practice. They're texting me. They want more information. I'm feeding them more information. They want to watch film with me. So you start to develop that type of chemistry. This is going to be a phenomenal year for this this core of freshmen and what they're going to be asked to do in this system.
Without a doubt. That's our report here for the Sunday Morning Quarterback. For Darryl Rodeau, this is Gary Paskowitz.